Welcome to the Do Zone, where entrepreneurs go to get things done. I'm your host, Josh Thomas. You can find me on all social media at JT Literally. Each week, I bring on experts from a variety of backgrounds to share their secrets on how to optimize performance so you can take massive action and crush your goals. The Do Zone is sponsored by Fast Track Funnels, the new way to bring in consistent daily sales for your business in 2025 without cold outreach or burning cash on ads. We use this method with a brand new business to generate more than $100,000 cash collected in less than 30 days. Download the free step-by-step blueprint that shows exactly how we did it at getconversions.net. Once again, that's getconversions.net. Today's guest is Scott Oldford. He is an entrepreneur, investor, and mentor who has helped hundreds of online businesses scale past seven figures with years of hands-on experience, scaling his own multi-million dollar businesses and crafting frameworks that consistently drive growth. He's earned a reputation as one of the go-to experts in the space. Having invested in over 50 companies across diverse industries, his insights are trusted by top entrepreneurs in fields like coaching, consulting, SaaS, and more. Scott, welcome to the Do Zone. Tell us something you believe is the key to getting stuff done that most people wouldn't think of.
I think the easiest one is by far most people do to-do lists, right? But they're too confined. They're confined to the day or the next couple of days. So you take a piece of paper, put everything that you want to do over the next month or two, and then you wake up and then you just ask yourself, ask the universe, whatever you want to do, what do I want to actually do today? And then take a look at the list and be like, all right, let me do this one or that one or whatever it might be. And then you don't get to write a new list until everything's done on that list. So instead of it like being a to-do, it's because to-do lists a lot of times a lot of things you don't want to necessarily do. Or yeah, maybe I will wake up and I want to go for a drive today instead of working right away or whatever it might be. And so it kind of changed to-do list for me. And so I instead have the, hey, here's what I want to do over the next, in my case, 3 months. And then I just look at it and be like, what would be interesting to me today? Because whatever we're fascinated with, whatever we're like, oh my God, I want to do, generally we're going to do a lot faster. We're going to be able to condense the amount of time that it takes versus sitting down being like, yeah, I got to do this. And it's not the day to do it. It's
Yeah.
such a simple just twist on the to-do list.
More of a get to do list.
Yeah, absolutely. It's by far the easiest way to get whatever you want done. And generally speaking, you'll get whatever's on there done way faster than, all right, here's what I need to do first, and then second, and then third, and then that's no fun.
Yeah, what it also does is it helps you really think about what goes on that list and what doesn't.
Yeah,
Well, I
absolutely.
probably need to do this, but if I put it on the list, it's just going to be sitting there making me feel guilty for 2 months.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Done that before.
And so that's one of the things that I know there's a story that you like to tell about being $1 million in debt and turning that into a $10 million net worth. And I personally resonate with that story because I've been in this situation where everything's closing in around me, and I got a choice. Like, I can either try to make myself smaller or I can start swinging the bat because either way, it's not going to get better unless I do something. And so I'm just curious because I imagine every single person that might be listening to this episode right now is either going through that, or they just went through it, or they're about to go through it. And so, talk to us about this desperation, this feeling that happens when your resources are getting drained away, and how does that really spark innovation? Like, what do we do to get out of the corner?
Yeah, I mean, I've been in many times where, if only I say if only if I was only $1 million in debt, and that was the only like rough part of my life, I would have been lucky up to this point. But I talk about that because it's most relatable.
It takes a lot of skill to have that much debt.
It does take a
Not
lot of skill.
everybody can get $1 million in
True,
debt.
true. $1 million in debt does. I mean, in my case, it only took a couple of bad months, but yes, it doesn't happen overnight for most people. I think the truth of the matter is that you've got to really go into this. Not that I'm religious, but the whole this too shall pass attitude, from the Bible. And just knowing that, like, whenever I'm up, I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm probably going to be down at some point. And whenever I'm down, I'm like, yeah, probably going to be up at some point. And just, I think that that's one thing that really helped me. I think the second thing that I've learned over the years is, like, most of the time, 90 plus percent of the anxiety or whatever really comes back to the fact that you aren't really afraid of what might happen if your resources are gone or you're going through it. You're mostly just afraid of being embarrassed. And the reason we are afraid of being embarrassed is, generally speaking, you don't want to get tossed out of the club, right? Now, you might not even be in a club, but you don't want your wife looking at you the certain way, or your parents or your friends or whatever it might be. And if you took the embarrassment, or even complete strangers, honestly, and because we're so social animals and we care so much about what other people think that they don't even care about what they think, when you really go back to it, like, I remember one time in a very difficult time. This is not when I was $1 million in debt. This is actually a much worse time than $1 million in debt. And, you know, and I've built a really great framework over time. And of course, my book, Million in the Red, which you can pick up, of course, talks about a lot of these things. I went through and I was like, you know, there's not a single one of these anxieties outside of dying through natural causes. There's nothing on this list of 50 things that are anything besides, I'm afraid of being embarrassed. That's it. It's the only thing. Now, if you're a woman, you're, generally speaking, a man will be afraid of embarrassment because it's directly related to respect. And that's generally what men want, is respect. Women want certainty and safety. Women, talking of feminine versus masculine, obviously we all have part of that. But and so for a woman, it's going to be a little bit different. So if you listen to this, you're a woman, it might not resonate with that. But if you're a man, generally we want to be respected, which means we're allergic to embarrassment. And so if you take that out, most situations are not really that bad if you just simply are transparent and be like, you know what? I can't pay that bill right now. Not because I don't want to pay you, because here's what's going on in my life. And what I learned is, once you're, like, transparent with somebody, you have a lot of leniency to be able to get yourself out of those bad situations, because most people have been in a bad place. And so when somebody comes to me and, you know, maybe they can't pay me, or a business partner or whatever it might be, and they're like, hey, here's what's going on. Like, cool, no problem. All good. Keep me posted.
Really, because well, when you own your truth, they can't use it
There is
against you.
nothing, there's nothing else to be. There's nothing else there, right?
That's
And
there's nothing left. You can't use this as a weapon because I already laid it down.
100%. And you know, I acquired a business a few years ago for like $5 million, and some things didn't go great, and it was based on seller financing. And I went back to the person, and I mean, you know, I was like super embarrassed. I was like, listen, like, I can't pay you the rest of the money. Like, I'm not that I don't want to. It's just like, this just did not go the way that I wanted it to. And you know, and they're like, you know, what else can we kind of figure out? And so I gave him a very small chunk of another business, and he's like, cool, sweet, I'll get my money back in 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, when that exits. It was literally a 8 minute conversation, literally an 8 minute conversation. I didn't go in there being like, hey, I'm not going to pay you because this business sucks or whatever. I just went in there being like, hey, this didn't go the way I thought, but I'd love to figure out how it wins for even, you know, both of us even better. And you know, as an entrepreneur, you're gonna have more losses, you're gonna have wins. So you gotta get really good at figuring out how to lose. Because even when you're successful, you're gonna lose more than because every single time you swing, doesn't matter how much money you have in the bank, you're still gonna lose more than you win. It's just like, you know, I'm not a gambler, but it's just kind of a little entrepreneurship's a little bit like gambling. Right. And so every time you bet, it's not going to be a win. So you got to get really good at not being risk adverse, but and not even being risk mitigation, but being able to have risk reversal so that you take whatever loss and you're like, all right, sweet, let's keep going.
Yeah. You know, I really resonate with the idea of if you live in the truth, then the embarrassment is not possible. I had a business that I started, and it blew up immediately. Like, cash was coming in. People were like, here, take my money, give me that thing you were promising me. I'm like, okay, cool. And I was relying on a vendor and a partner to deliver that. And, you know, he really laid a turd on the delivery part of it. I'll own it. You know, I went and sold his promises. And now I've got like 60 angry people who've paid me thousands of dollars. And they're coming to me like a little bit at a time, like, hey, man, where's the thing, you know? And so I just told them the truth, you know? That's like, well, I thought that I could do this. Apparently I can't. What would you like me to do about it? You know, do you want your money back? No, I want you to give me the thing. I'm like, all right, well, it's going to take a couple of extra weeks.
It's going to take a while.
Just told them the truth, you know? Yeah. Some people were like, give me my money, I'm out. And some people were like, I appreciate your candor. But nobody embarrassed me, you know?
No, no, nobody's going to be like, you know, screw you for the fact that it didn't work out. Like, especially if you're, you know, I mean, some people might if you're dealing with direct consumers. But generally speaking, most people are pretty flexible if you're honest with them.
Well, the thing is there's so much deception. There's so much avoiding responsibility that happens in all facets of our life. There's so much victim mentality that when you encounter somebody that just says, yeah, you know what, that I did. He who smelt it dealt it, and I smelt it, and so I dealt it. Yep. You know, like there is so little of that, that if you just do the basics, sometimes that's all you need to command all the respect that you would ever want.
Yep, that's absolutely true. It's absolutely true. It's so simple. Yeah, it's almost nobody does it, and it's the absolute biggest hack, like, ever. It's so I mean, one last story, which is I had a business that I own a small percentage in, and you know, they were going through some cash flow issues, and they had $230,000 on an Amex, and they're like, we can't pay this. And I was like, all right, cool, sweet, I'll give Amex a call. And I called up Amex and I was like, hey guys, we're and it was one of those Plum cards. So it wasn't like you couldn't pay it over time. It was like, you gotta pay it each month, each 45 days. And I call them up. I'm like, listen, I can't, we don't have the money to pay that. And they're like, well, when can you? I was like, I tell you what, I can pay like, I think it was like $3,000. I can pay $3,000 right now. And I call you back in a couple of weeks to see how we're doing. So I call them back a few weeks and we're not doing any better. It's going to take a while. And they're like, hey, I was like, what can we do? And they're like, hey, could you pay it over 5 years? I'm just like, yeah, of course. It's not that much money. And so they offered me a 5-year payment plan with only 8% yearly interest, which is pretty much the same as a mortgage. And Amex probably doesn't like me telling that story too much. And that business is still paying that off. And that business has bounced back. And obviously, if it gets to a point where it makes sense to clear off the 100-something thousand left on it, that's great. But needless to say, unless you called up Amex and just told them what they were doing, like, there's only two ways that conversation goes. You ignore it and they send you to collections, or you just call them up and you figure it out. And even a billion, if not trillion-dollar company, not probably not trillion, but multi-billion-dollar company, is negotiating with you. So like, everything's figure outable.
Yep, indeed. And so, tell us a little bit about what you're doing now, who you're serving, and how they can connect with you.
Yeah, I mean, for anybody that's here, you want to go dive into the money mindset stuff, I'd highly recommend Million in the Red, millioninthered.com. I also have a 5-day free experience that goes into 5 of the most deep money lessons, and that's millioninthered.com/experience. And, you know, generally speak, I mean, I've got a lot of different things, so it depends on who you are. But of course, if you go to scuttledfor.com and you dive down the rabbit hole over there, I'm sure you'll find, you know, something that, you know, makes sense for you. And if you're here, you make over 7 figures a year, you want somebody to really help guide you in building your empire and going beyond just, hey, here's a business, but I want the life, I want the wealth, I want the, you know, everything. Not saying that I've got all my shit together, but I've failed enough to be able to tell you what doesn't work. And that's what I do when I'm working with people in a one-on-one capacity, which is obviously not that often. But you know, I really enjoy working with people that are kind of like first time successful, that have a lot of the right pieces to create a great life, but they haven't figured out how to put all the pieces together just yet. I find a lot of fun in that. And I think part of it's just like getting the almost mentor my past self without maybe going through all the difficult times that I went through after I had success, which I'm sure is a different podcast episode. But yeah, I appreciate that.
Awesome. Cool. Well, hey, we're going to wrap up from here. Thanks so much to our guest, Scott Alford, for coming on and sharing a little bit of wisdom about how he gets stuff done. You can learn more about what he does and jump down whatever rabbit hole you choose by going to scottoldford.com or check out his book called Million in the Red. Whether you're on your morning commute, you're down in some rabbit hole trying to find your way out, or you're out in the field working on windmills or something like that, snap a selfie, tag me at JT Literally, show me what you do while you're in the do zone. And one more time, if you want daily sales and a full calendar of prospects who want what you have, download the Fast Track Funnels Blueprint for free at getconversions.net. That'll do it for this episode. Let's get to work.